On Sunday night, when Hurricane Ida hit the Gulf Coast, heavy winds and storm surge battered the fishing village of Jean Lafitte, Louisiana. You could almost hear the fear in Mayor Tim Kerner's voice when he described what he was seeing to a local news station, WGNO.
Total devastation, catastrophic. Anywhere between 75 to 200 people stranded in Barataria. The winds are still too strong. We can't put boats in the water to get to them. This is a very dangerous situation. I've never seen so much water in my life.
Parts of Lafitte were flooded under at least 10 feet of water. Dozens of people had to be rescued from their homes. Others evacuated before the levees were topped. Sarah Mack was one of them. When we spoke yesterday, I asked if her family's home was okay.
We still don't know. We haven't been able to get in yet. The island's still completely submerged.
Well, right. I mean, judging by what you've first of all seen in the news and what you've heard from your friends and your neighbors on social media, you must be concerned about what the state of your home is.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, through the storm, I was definitely getting videos from neighbors of houses being off their foundations and floating down the bayou in front of our house. The levee that was overtopped immediately where our house is was 7.5 feet. Our home is 8.5 feet elevated. And then, of course, wind damages are severe too. So sometimes your house makes it through the flooding, but you'll still find you don't have a roof to come home to, or who knows the extent of damages.
You know, we're hearing a lot of people say that this wasn't as bad as Katrina because at least around New Orleans, the levees held. That's true. But it sounds like it sort of depends on where you are, right? And at least in your area, it may have been worse than Katrina. I mean, what are you
absolutely
thinking about that?
Totally. Lafitte didn't flood at all with Katrina. This path and hurricane has had much, much more significant damages of any hurricane ever for the community of Lafitte. It's really just been devastated.
I was anxious to hear how Sarah was doing because I know her. She runs a coastal restoration company called Tierra Resources. 4 years ago, last June, she took me on her boat, introduced me to local fishermen, business owners, and fellow scientists to help me understand an issue that feels all too relevant today. Louisiana's coastline is vanishing. Every hour of every day, the state loses a football field worth of wetlands to coastal erosion. As I learned in 2017, it's affecting the environment and the lives of the people who live along the marsh.
There's some shrimp in there, look. Just a little bit.
Rip Blank is a charter boat captain who's been fishing the bayous his entire life. We met at a dock in Barataria, a little fishing town about 30 miles north of the Gulf of Mexico.
What they do, this boat goes out and it catches the bait.
This shrimp boat is part of Louisiana's $350 million a year commercial fishing industry. But it's under threat, disrupted in recent years by powerful hurricanes and the 2010 BP oil spill. There's also a slower-moving crisis. Erosion is changing the environment that Blank has relied on for years.
Even my customers are starting to recognize it now, and it don't come back once it leaves.
Water is destroying the fragile marsh.
It washes through little cuts, and then before you know it, a boat might go through it, two boats might go through it, and then it just keeps getting bigger and bigger, deep and deep, and then before you know it, it's gone.
The state of Louisiana predicts that if nothing is done in this area, flooding will make daily life next to impossible within 50 years. The water will rise nearly 3 feet, and by some estimates, in the next 80 years, 500,000 climate refugees will flee the parishes around New Orleans.
I know you've lived here your whole life. Have you ever thought about leaving?
No, no. We water people. We can't leave. You know, that's it. This is all we know. You get water, water goes away, you come back. Start all over again.
4 years later, the water is back. When hurricanes like Ida tear through Louisiana's fragile wetlands, they make erosion even worse. Climate change and sea level rise contribute too. Plus, silt from the highly controlled Mississippi River no longer flows downstream like it once did. So the land is actually sinking. In 2017, Sarah Mack wanted to show me something that might help. The scientist from Lafitte steered her boat to the very place where Ida made landfall on Sunday, to the shallow marshes of Port Fouchon. Mac drops anchor. We pull big rubber waders up to our hips and jump in. We're just a few hundred yards from the Gulf of Mexico.
Ooh, just sunk. Hold on.
This is actually really solid good walking for wetlands.
I can tell.
The water is already comfortably warm. As the summer draws on, it will be the fuel for powerful hurricanes that could wipe out the nearby port, which services 90% of the Gulf's offshore oil industry. Mac is leading me toward the shore to show me something that could mitigate a disaster. It's an unassuming plant called the black mangrove, which is increasingly common here.
These mangroves are actually a tropical species, and because the climate is warming and we're not getting these hard freezes, these tropical plants are moving into the southern reaches of Louisiana.
By now, we're out of the water, trudging through a mangrove thicket that belongs to ConocoPhillips. The oil company owns 640,000 acres in southern Louisiana, making it the largest private wetland owner in the country.
This sounds like a muddy job you have.
You're covered in mud by the time it's all said and done.
Fleshy mangrove tubes stick up from the mud and trip us up. Mac and a scientist she works with named Robert Lane from Louisiana State University say those tubes are called pneumatophores.
They're the root system, but they're also what sticks up out of the water so that the plant can actually take oxygen.
That's what you want this. This is good. This is going to protect from storm surge.
Yeah. This will hold the wetlands together and not dissipate.
Since the 1930s, Louisiana has lost more than 1,900 square miles of land to erosion. That's the size of Delaware. Blame the oil companies for much of it. For decades, they've dug a system of canals through the fragile marsh to access their wells. Climate change and sea rise are compounding the problem. Mac says losing the land means losing a buffer from powerful storm surge.
What really happens with a surge is you get this big wall of water. With Hurricane Katrina, it was 28 feet. And then you also have the waves on top of the water. So it really can cause massive destruction to levee systems, like in Hurricane Katrina, massive flooding.
By some estimates, it'll take $90 billion in the next 50 years to restore the coast. For the past several years, Sarah Mack and Robert Lane have tested a theory. What if you collect a bunch of mangrove seeds known as propagules and replant them across tens of thousands of acres?
In general, along the Louisiana coast, you see mangroves along the bayou edges, and that's because the propagules flow along with the water and they get stranded along the edges and they can't get further into the interior. And it's an interior marsh that we're trying to establish these mangroves in.
You want them to go deeper than just the
edges. Yeah, and so that's what the airplane can do.
The airplane?
That sound is from a video taken last fall. Mac hired a crop duster to drop plane loads of mangrove seeds deep into a salt marsh where only fragile grasses had grown before. Several months later, Mac is reaching into the marsh with a ruler to show me how the seeds have come to life.
What are you looking at? You've got these little, oh my gosh, it's tiny.
Yeah, those are our growing mangrove seedlings from what we seeded just this past November.
It's buried in the grass here.
Yeah, but you can see I'm measuring this. This is 10 inches, and this has grown 10 inches since November.
This is a pretty big piece of land that we're standing on, but in the scheme of things, it's actually pretty small if you consider how widespread this problem is. So is it realistic to think that what you're doing here could be replicated on a scale that would be large enough to actually make a difference?
I mean, nothing's ever quite enough, but everything helps. Again, when our trade-off is open water, every bit helps.
That was Sarah Mack 4 years ago on a reporting trip I made to Port Fouchon, Louisiana, the spot where Hurricane Ida came ashore on Sunday. When we spoke yesterday, Sarah said the mangroves we measured in 2017 were probably inundated, no match for the storm surge. Ida inevitably destroyed large swaths of wetlands, which means the next time a hurricane blows through, there will be even less protection for Sarah's hometown of Lafitte, still ravaged by floodwaters a few miles to the north.